Okay. We're back. First of all, I know this is a basketball or Raptors podcast, but we are in Toronto here, and the Leafs are in the playoffs right now. One of my best friends, he hates basketball, but he loves the Leafs. I'm talking diehard Leafs fan. I mean, if you were to cut him, blues coming out. Okay,
that's
if
a
you're
lot
gonna
of pain
cut him,
right there.
Yeah, if you did open heart surgery, his heart would go buds. Buds like this, right? So they lost game two yesterday, so I knew he was upset, so I sent him a text. So I just wanted to read this text to you guys. This is what I sent him. I go, "Buds, the Leafs are an AI generated looped sick joke which gets watched by people who believe it's not already written. Over and over and over, the AI deals out this enveloped illusion that this could be the year, but alas,
oh
it
my
never,
goodness.
Ever is.
Never, ever, 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 ever,
ever, ever, ever, ever, ever, ever, ever, ever. Welcome back, everybody, to the Sports Ethos Toronto Raptor Podcast. We took a week off, little vacation after the end of the season, but we're back. That's A-Rod, that's Max P, that's El Hoopo. We're refreshed, got a little bit of sun in Toronto. So here we go. What's up, boys?
Ooh,
talk about a loop.
On the loop.
That's the AI was listening. What's up, boys?
What is
chilling.
These playoffs are absolute fire.
Aren't
so
they?
Far.
Aren't
great,
they, man?
Great stuff.
Absolutely. So let's get right into that. So it has been a week since we last spoke. Last time we spoke, the Raptors ended their season, and that is the last time we will speak of the Raptors the rest of this episode. All right, so the playoffs, like you said, A-Rod, they are on fire. So let's run this down real quick, and you jump in. We're not going to do one word, but what we'll do is we'll do a little rundown. There's a lot of series going on right now. Heat against the Celtics, it's 1-1 right now. We got OKC up 2-0 against the Pelicans. Mavs and Clips are tied 1-1. Pacers, Bucks, I want to get into that one, 1-1. And the Wolves up 2-0 on the Suns. Knicks, Sixers, 2-0 at halftime right now. I believe the Knicks are up. And the last one I think we should talk about, of course, is the Lakers and the Nuggets when the Nuggets up 2-0. Jump in on whatever you want. What do you see? A-Rod, let's start off with you. Tell me, why are these playoffs got your attention so good right now?
All right, let's talk tight games, old school feel,
yeah.
90s. The fucking Knicks and the 76ers. That is a series.
Hey.
I am loving it. I am loving seeing Nick Nurse's dumbass face every time he looks puzzled about why he didn't get a timeout or why does Call didn't go his way or his challenge didn't work.
Shout out to Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse, double and double.
We have all seen that face for years. And just to see it in another...
Like
on another sideline, it's just priceless.
Yeah.
I mean, and the way they blew that game, too, I don't care what anybody says. I don't give a shit about your, oh, it should have been a foul or this or that. No, that's just bad management on the coach's part. You call timeout immediately. And don't even dare tell me this guy called timeout because he was hesitant about it. He was pulling his hands apart, doing all sorts of gang signs on the sideline.
Hey.
Kyrie.
Where you
and
from, cuz?
And then after, you know, all hell broke loose, these guys just coughed it up. Maxi fell on the floor, which by street ball standards, that should have been a travel. So I don't even care what the foul was. And then after, you know, DiVincenzo did his thing, and it was great, man. And it
Big
was great
shot.
To see Embiid with his, like, his hands in his head in the locker room just, oh, I don't care, we're going to win this series. You know, it's unfucking acceptable. Yeah, okay, Embiid, calm down, man.
Yeah,
we'll take
team,
care of your weight and your
guy.
Bum-ass knee, man. Because
yeah.
That's all this guy does, man. Get injured all the time, then cry about it after the series is done.
So that's
great to see that series. The other thing that is phenomenal is, I mean, the Lakers and Nuggets, like, the Nuggets came back from 20.
Yes.
Jamal Murray, Team Canada, hit the go-ahead shot.
Kitchen.
Not
game
a problem.
Winner.
Not a problem.
I mean,
and
is
not
this,
a problem,
is this,
exactly.
Is this Paris 2024 foreshadowing with these old-ass American teams?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but hey.
I'm getting ahead, man. I'm jumping right in there, man. I'm diving in.
The
man.
Best was AD falling into the bench on that shot. You see that?
Yeah,
that was,
and then KCP came and protected him.
Yeah.
Like, I know we won, but I need to protect my guy.
That should have been LeBron or
that would have been beautiful.
Yeah, but it was better. But yeah, that was an amazing shot.
And then we were just talking about it, you know, a couple of minutes ago, but LeBron in the locker room afterwards.
Let's get into it.
Let me just jump right into this LeBron thing, man. First of all, fuck LeBron. Because the way this guy handled the media at the end of the game is truly a sign of disrespect for everybody on the opposing team and other players.
Fuck him.
Because what did my man do? First thing, you blew a 20-point lead. So it got nothing to do with one call. You blew a 20-point lead and a 14-point lead in game one. Okay? So you're down 0-2, not because of one play, but because of your bum ass. Second thing, you missed a go-ahead three after you should have had an offensive foul called on you. But we'll save that for another day. We'll say MJ pushed off two. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Byron Russell.
So my man misses the open three. Then what does he do? He goes back to the locker room after Jamal Murray hits it over AD's head, pulls up his phone, and says, "Let me check this 76ers Knicks game."
Oh, I can't believe this.
And let me look at this shitty. Let me look at this shitty officiating, according to LeBron.
This is like AI rappers or something, man. Because
he
said,
"What are we doing here? What are we doing here?" That should have been a foul on D'Angelo or for D'Angelo Russell. And then, you know, the 76ers Knicks game. I seen it at the end now. Like, what are we doing here? Unacceptable. What are you doing? You're not even in that series and you're talking about it after you just lost? Yeah. Like, grow up, man. Yeah. Grow up, man.
And the way he was slouched back in his seat and the way he was pouting and had his toque on, like, come
don't
on.
Don't mind
man.
Me,
like,
though. I mean, I don't care. He's going to be out in two games anyway, so better for me.
Yes.
Got to enjoy the rest of these playoffs without his stupid ass.
Man. Wow. A-Rod just murdered. A-Rod ethered LeBron.
Ethered
this guy.
What do you think of that? You don't have to talk about the Nuggets-Lakers series, but what do you think, Max, about what's going on with these Lakers and Nuggets or the playoffs? Give me your rundown.
Oh, wow.
What's got your attention?
Wasn't it crazy during the Philly and Lakers fiasco how they got the – they kind of got the ghost of Reggie Miller off their back with that little situation right there.
And then
another crazy thing was the guys who won us the championship, minus Kawhi, like our point guard and our coach, completely dropping the ball on Philly like that. And it's like, damn, they sure were a lot better when they were with us. Mm. But hey, what's that? What they call that? Sloppy seconds or something? But, yeah. I mean... you know, there's a reason they're not Raptors no more. That's the best Raptor of all time. We let him go.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just wild how, like, our two local heroes completely damn near sabotage Philly like that. That was wild.
The stats that Pascal is putting up right now.
Game two where Pascal, I mean, even game one when everybody was nervous, Pascal was the only guy who was like, I've been here before.
Yeah.
This ain't nothing to me, you know. Nah. So, like, they're getting their money's worth right there for sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, though, watching that Pacers and Bucks series because game one, you could tell they were like kind of deer in the headlights, all playoffs, you know.
Yeah,
of course.
Nervous,
yeah.
Whatever. Young team, right? But then game two. It was kind of funny because midway through the second quarter, it was a little bit more of the same. You know, Dame was putting up numbers and, like, you know, Bucks were kind of not really rolling, but, like, they were in a groove, right? Mm-hmm. And then something just clicked, and the Pacers were like, these guys are fucking old. Let's just outrun them. Yeah. And it was just outrunning them. Yeah, man. It was just, they just said, these guys are old. Let's outrun them and let's go. And that was it. And, like, no matter what Milwaukee did, they just didn't have the answer.
Talk about not having the answer, Suns and Wolves. Boys, I called
with
the Wolves.
With your old ass.
Oh.
With your old ass. You can't guard me. With your old ass. You the pass, bro.
I love it, man.
Yeah, man.
It's sometimes you got to take it, youngins. Nobody's going to give it to you.
100%.
So I'm loving Shai Gil. Ant-Man, Joker already said, this is me right here. I like this crown right here. I'll just sit right here for a little while, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've watched that replay of Jamal's game winner a few times, and just that was a beautiful shot. That was an absolutely shot. And the reaction of the crowd, reaction of the bench, reaction of the team, it's just a good vibe. It reminds you how good basketball is, right?
And the most beautiful thing about it is, nobody's surprised with that.
No,
He's a killer. Yeah, everybody knows this. He's a killer. Yeah. Like in these times, All-Star games, first NBA. No. Just call me. He's like Snake Eyes and G.I. Joe, man. Call me when shit gets real. You know, I'll jump out the helicopter.
He gets so much respect in this city too, because I walk my kids. I've told this before. Like I walk my kids to daycare. I walk my son Stello to daycare and my daughter Luna to school, right? And I'll run into other dads in the neighborhood, and they all love hoops, and then they always love to just like quick chats with me, right, about this and that. And after that Laker game, right, so I'm walking past. And they're like, Jamal, huh? And I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, you know why? It's because of his dad. His dad would have him out in the ice, would have him out in the cold, would have him out freezing his ass off, just working. They're like, salute to Jamal's dad. I'm like, all right. First guy, next guy. Like, you see that? He's a killer. I'm like, man, this guy, everywhere I'm walking, it's just Jamal. Everybody's on Jamal, man. And as we should be.
I'm telling you right now, Paris 2024, man. You guys seen it on Twitter, all these guys going off about, oh, this is the second coming of the Dream Team and all this bullshit. Listen, KD's old as fuck. He don't care no more. LeBron old as hell too. He don't care either. Steph is the only guy Nintendo who cares now. But he's still old.
They're making a mistake by having like a farewell type of here you go as a reward for your career type of thing with the American Olympic team.
And it might
end up catching them in the ass with that, because
let me ask you something. How do you rate the coach?
Which coach? The coach for the Olympic team? Who's
Steve
that?
Steve Kerr.
Oh, but didn't he get fired?
No, man.
No.
He's still the coach. And what did they do in FIBA? Fuck all. So I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, but Steve Kerr is not that good of a coach. He caught a wave at Golden State, and he had like something new. The league has obviously caught up with them. When Golden State won the championship, shooting all them threes, revolutionizing the game. If they shot those same amount of threes this season, they'd be near the bottom of the league.
And we were
like, holy shit, look at all those threes back then. So the game has moved past Golden State and Steve Kerr up for a minute now. I felt like he was the past last season. He wasn't clicking with the young boys. Holding on to the old dudes too much.
It wasn't working. Kuminga had to beg him for PT this year.
Kuminga's never going to get accepted by Steve Kerr.
And he got that fucked up haircut after that. Like Steve Kerr gave him that haircut.
Yeah, he's been through too much. He's not bringing anybody new into his like little circle. I don't know why they kept that coach around, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, guys, I have a quick question for you, okay? I don't know if you guys can maybe help out with this. I've run into a situation, okay? So as you know, I'm a ginger, right? And I laid outside. We haven't been getting much sun, right? So I got a little bit of sun today, huh? So I go and I sit outside. Didn't put on enough sunscreen, I guess you would call it, right? I got a little bit of a burn, on my skin, my freckled skin. So I'm wondering, is there any way you could help a ginger out here with, where I can get some creams, maybe some after sun lotions to be able to get rid of this burn that I got going on in my ginger skin? You guys know of anywhere I could look?
Well, I mean, I know a supplement store, but
what's that?
Mm-hmm.
I heard a
great supplement store.
Yeah, it helps with a multitude of things. So I'm gonna have to send you to
Popeye's supplements
for all your ginger skin needs. You can go to Popeye's supplements. If you get a burn, you can go there. They have a multitude. It's a great word, multitude. That's your LinkedIn word of the day, right there. I like that. So speaking of LinkedIn, hey, that means this is another episode of this or
that.
All right, the playoff edition. So, and it was funny. I wanted to kick in right there because you started talking about the Golden State Warriors, and that's the first topic actually. So we're all on the same wavelength right here. AI must have written this one. So my question for you guys that I pose is that with the Warriors out of the playoffs and not looking too good, is this dynasty done? I want to ask you a question. What is your point of view on where they should go, where they're headed, and are the Warriors done? essentially is what I'm asking you. So A-Rod, I know you picked them to win this year, which is it's not gonna happen.
Shout out to me for that.
So we'll start with you then, because your pick is done. What's going on with these Warriors, and do you think that they're done?
I definitely think they're done now. I mean, you know, if there was a season for them to come back and do something, this was the one, given the salary construction, the roster construction, the cap space they got. Like, it was this season, because they had the pieces, but it was very dependent on, like, could they get one or two more guys just to, like, you know, give them a little extra boost. But now, like, the biggest problem that they have is that they can't afford to sit in the luxury. Mm-mm. They clearly see that the team isn't good enough to win 50-plus games. And then Steph's getting older, so he's not going to get any better than what he is now, right? And no, he had a really good season. But Klay clearly is getting older. He had many points during this season where he just looked terrible. Warriors fans were begging for him to be benched, which was crazy in itself. But, you know, it's sad to see that. And then Draymond, you know Draymond's never going to play 60-plus games again.
No.
Like, he's just not that guy. He's always got an injury, and he's always getting suspended or something. Wild shit. Like,
yeah.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, how are you going to keep this core together? And are you going to hope that Kuminga and Moody are the future? Because that's who you have as a young guy. Do you like that Pods kid? Because, I don't know, he seems all right, but he's not great. Like,
no.
Neither of those names, the Moody, Abad, like, Kuminga, they're not great. They're good, but they're not great.
So it's going to be an interesting offseason. And again, we just touched on it, Steve Kerr. I don't think Steve Kerr's got it. I never really thought he's Steve Kerr had juice. It as a coach. I was always very like pro Mark Jackson, because I felt like
Oh, you got to be. How could you not be?
Yeah, he developed Klay and Steph, you know.
He's the one that told him.
Yeah.
Shoot. Gave him the green light. And he called it. He put the pressure on them and called them the greatest shooters before they were the greatest shooters.
I remember that, yeah.
So I was very pro Mark Jackson, and just seeing Steve Kerr, like, what did he really do? Like, he just kind of rode a Hall of Famers to a title.
Everyone was pro Mark Jackson at the time. You know, it was so strange that he just, you know, that the way
even the Warriors, even the Warriors were pro Mark Jackson.
Yeah, and this is my thing with Steve Kerr, right? Like, yeah, he won a few championships, and I'm sure he made a couple of contributing plays, and he also kept, like, the team camaraderie and chemistry together, which I think is a good, important element of coaching. He was, like, a good segue between the stars and the ownership and all that stuff, right? But the problem, too, that I see is, like, did he ever develop anybody young?
That's not him.
Like, I never saw any development from that team through all those championship runs.
That's a good point.
You know, so like, we don't have anybody after Steph or Klay or Draymond. It's just
I'm trying to think. There's nobody. Yeah,
I can't think of a single guy. Like even Kuminga. Like Kuminga had to get into a public spat with him to get minutes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's not the coach for that, and he never showed any interest in doing any of that. You know.
No.
He came in when the team was ready to go, and everybody that was new on the team. He never worked with them. They had a top draft pick, and he ended up going to the wasteland of the Washington Wizards, you know? Kuminga, you know, never, ever had any kind of connection with that kid. That kid basically fought his way into becoming an NBA player, right? No help. Yeah. Bad team for young players to try and develop. Jordan Poole, even though he wasn't a likable guy, he didn't get any protection out there as a younger player. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, Steve Kerr is not about
Wiseman,
that, you know?
Wiseman.
He went off to the Wizards, the wasteland of the Wizards.
But he's in Detroit, isn't he?
Detroit. Yeah, he's Pistons. Same thing. You know what I'm saying? Same thing.
It's true.
And, you know, it's like, this dude was never interested in anything that wasn't already prepackaged.
I was just gonna say, ready to go. You said it best. Everything he had.
When Wiggins came in, Wiggins was prepackaged. He had went through the wars and the ups and downs, and he was ready to figure it out when he was at Golden State. Like, like everything. Steve Kerr never developed a damn thing, and he never showed any interest in that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do think that you said it earlier too, that, you know, they changed the game, right? But that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was his one trick.
Like, you think about that, right? That was a long time ago. I remember going to the court years ago when Steph changed the game with how he shot. And he changed kids, how they'd step out four more steps. You know, he never made kids step out four more steps.
Yeah, and we never seen anybody with that kind of influence since Jordan.
No. Exactly, because it hit the courts outside on the streets, and it affected kids. And that, I think, is gone now. So he did his thing. They did their thing. But the new generation has come in, and I think their time is done. I do think that era is done in my mind. So, I mean, salute to how they changed the game and everything like that. But it'll be very interesting to see what happens next year with what they do and where they go.
Yeah, they never had a very a center or a big man that they could play through.
They tried
in their whole era. And now in the modern NBA, if you don't have that type of player, you're screwed.
No.
If you don't have the big man that has the versatility to guard and take a little mid-range jump shot and rebound and score down low, if you don't have that guy with that versatility, you're screwed. You're done. Yeah. You're screwed.
Well, speaking of a big man who could shoot, who could rebound, there was one the Raptors had, but he's banned. He is now banned. For the rest of his goddamn life, he got the electric chair from Adam Silver. You're done. You're never allowed back in the NBA. Jontay Porter has been banned for life from the NBA. I know this is old news. It's a few weeks old now, but we haven't spoke on it. So what do you boys think when that news dropped that Jontay's banned? Banned for life from the NBA. No. What do you think? Well-deserved?
Oh, absolutely well-deserved.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching this movie on Tubi. And
Tubi?
It was Falcon and the Snowman. Mm. And it's these two like super rich dudes that end up like becoming spies and going down to Mexico and getting all these kinds of adventures just to make a buck when they didn't need a buck, you know? And this guy reminds me of that type of dude, like just living in never grow up, always living in a fantasy land. You know, a
baloney brain too. That was
kids from the projects don't make those kinds of mistakes right there.
that was a big mistake, man. And then like the fact that you had mentioned, A-Rod, that he was betting on his brother too, right? So it we're on the street is, yeah. You said that
I can't remember. It was on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You broke my heart,
everything
Fredo.
On Twitter is real, so
hey, it's Wikipedia for the podcast.
You broke my heart, Fredo.
Yeah.
You bet it on me.
Too. We all were high on him this year. Even A-Rod was starting to pop.
Bro, T-shirt, we had a name for him. We had a white tee.
We were like, hey, there's something there. They better keep this guy in there. Boom, subs himself.
The dude was an agent.
Yeah.
The rappers got infiltrated.
Banned. I mean, it's always gonna be that, man. And what press conference was that when we were joking around? And that one dude's like, "Oh, who was it, man? He was holding that joke in for a while, man." And he's like, "Yo, I always just bet on myself. No Jontay."
Who said that?
Somebody did say that. I was funny as hell when they said it.
Dude from Denver.
No, Larry Nance. It was Larry.
Larry Nance. In the press conference. That was hilarious, right there.
Bam.
I always bet on myself. No Jontay.
Well, Jontay, you did it to yourself, man. And you know what? I mean, everybody makes mistakes, but you really fucked up on this one, man. So I hope you're having fun out in Vegas. And,
spend your brother's money now. Spend your brother's money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fuck around and get him caught up like that baseball player with his translator. Just pass the money off to your translator and lay the bets down, you know?
Well, next on here, I wanted to mention something. I'm not usually the type of guy that say, hey, I just read this book. And actually, I didn't even read it. It was an audiobook because Spotify now offers 15 hours per month if you're a premium member to listen to audiobooks, right? So I listened to this one book, and I'm not one to do this, like suggest. So I'm not really suggesting. I just want to give a big shout out to Kara Swisher. And speaking of the Golden State Warriors, she's from Silicon Valley, and she has been the number one tech reporter since the 90s on everything tech in this world. So she was the first one to put She had a conference called the All Things Digital Conference back in the day, where she would put people on stage, interview them in tech, and she was the first one to put these two monsters on stage, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. They were the only time they ever sat on stage together and interviewed.
It was probably an earthquake that day.
Man, so it changed the world. So Kara Swisher's book, I just want to give a big shout out. It's called Burn Book, A Tech Love Story. It's found wherever you can find fine books, and I really highly suggest that everyone, if you're interested in that type of thing about what's going on in the tech world and all the stories about how all the big tech companies, like Zuckerberg stories. She almost gave Zuckerberg on stage a goddamn heart attack, sweating much.
Yeah, the nervous breakdown right there sitting to her. Right
Yeah. So, but she did. I wanted to. I pulled one story from it, which it hit home actually because
MK Ultra baby.
Yeah, she was talking about this guy. I don't know. Do you remember Zappos? You boys remember Zappos? So it was
a little bit.
Yeah, it was an online company that sold shoes, and it was the founder was Tony Hsieh. His name was Tony Hsieh, and he sold the company later on, and he became a multi-billionaire. Like, he was a billionaire, straight up billionaire, and he lived out in Vegas. And so he sold the company. He's a billionaire. But the problem was he loved the party. He loved he loved the drugs, and he was partying. And he literally thought that we were all truly living in a simulation. And so this is the world he was living in. And he was living in Vegas, and he ended up doing a lot of positive things in Vegas, where he changed the other side of Vegas, I guess, another part of the downtown, and made it for tech startups. And he built up this big community, and everything was going good. And my lady used to go down there for business, and they mentioned, Kara mentioned in the book, that he was always very huggy. He was always very touchy. Like, he'd meet you for the first time, he'd give you this big hug and touch your hand and touch your arm and all this stuff, right? So my lady went down there and went to a meeting with him. And actually, as I was telling my lady this about the book, she's like, that's crazy. Because when I met him, he gave me this huge hug, and he touched my hand, and he looked at me, and he said, you do know this is not real. This is a simulation. I was like, wow, man, like, you actually had, like, because rest in peace, he passed away. He died in, I guess he was doing a bunch of drugs, and he was in his shed, and he was lighting a bunch of candles, and so rest in peace. The huge story, and this is in the book. And so two things, rest in peace, Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos, and everyone go out and look up Kara Swisher's Burn Book, A Tech Love Story. Highly suggested if you're into that sort of thing. So next, we're going to stay in LA, and I thought, you know what? I want to talk a little music here. So because we're in LA, and last episode, I never got to mention them. I'm a big fan of the Psycho Realm. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Psycho Realm, but they were sort of like an offshoot of Cypress Hill. Okay. And they come from LA. We got Sick Jackin and Big Duke. And this was a 90s group, and they were produced by DJ Muggs. And they got a lot of... They did pretty well with this album. And I just want to give a shout out to the Psycho Realm, because I never mentioned them, and I wish I mentioned them in the last episode. And I grew up seeing their video on Much Music Rap City, and it was this song right here that got me going. And I just want to give them a big shout out. Psycho Realm, Sick Jack, Big Duke. I don't know, do you boys remember this group?
No.
I remember Psycho Realm.
Man, Psycho Realm. The DJ Muggs got him going, and
sick beat though.
Man,
Funk Big Duke is Psycho paralyzed. Realm.
Yeah. Big Duke right there with the goatee. He actually, I guess, he took shots, and now he's paralyzed in a wheelchair. So anyways, shout out to them, man. Shout out to Psycho Realm. And lastly, man, so I saw a video the other day. It was the MIA video. I saw it years ago, and it just popped up in my feed, and it was Born Free. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the MIA video Born Free. If you haven't, go watch it.
But one in the desert?
Yeah, it's full of gingers. All right. Oh, so speaking of gingers, that's that one though. It is.
The one where they're driving the stunt driving?
Yeah. Oh, no, that one's amazing though. That's in Morocco. Yeah. No, uh-huh. But they're doing like on the side with the knife.
Yeah.
No, this one, they take all these gingers, like how the Americans went into Afghanistan and like took Muslims, but she flips it in the video, and it's gingers. So it's all gingers they're attacking, right? So I'm like, you know what, California, famous gingers. I wanted to bring up Josh Homme, who if it's one of my favorite rock groups, Queens of the Stone Age. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard of Queens of the Stone Age, but yeah, this guy right here made it very cool to be a ginger. And see me, I'm a ginger, right? So there's a few guys. Carrot Top, he's not good for us. Brian Scalabrine, he's not good for us. But Prince Harry, he did pretty good for us. This guy Josh Homme, he did very good for us. So I suggest everyone go and look up Queens of the Stone Age, Josh Homme. If you haven't, you should go, because it'll make you want to be a ginger. It'll make you want to go and just change your life a little bit. Go to your barbershop, ask them, do you have some of those ginger enhancements to change my hair to that ginger tone, that Josh Homme tone? So, yeah, Queens of the Stone Age. Big shout out to making being ginger a cool thing, man. So on that note, I just wanted to give those two shout outs because I meant to do that early on in the season, but I never did do it. It got lost in the shuffle, so... That's another episode of this or that. So let's go around the NBA, boys. A-Rod, I want you to talk about Embiid first and foremost.
Embiid, oh, man.
Okay, so all of this drama with Embiid right here, there was one clip of him where he actually fell on the free throw line when he was doing a technical free throw. What is going on? Yeah, yeah.
Apparently he's been doing that all season.
Oh, okay.
So if you haven't seen Sixers games, he's been doing that all season. It's almost like his way of willing the ball in.
Oh, okay.
My response to that is why. Like, I know we all do some crazy shit just to, like, you know, try and will the ball in. Maybe we're superstitious. Maybe we talk to it. I don't know. But why are you always on the floor? And speaking of Embiid on the floor, man. Listen, Philly, I love you. I respect you. AI is my guy. Be my guy forever. But I got to say this, too. Embiid does some dirty shit, man.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys remember, like, the last couple of years when Freak was on a fast break and he elbowed him right in the ribs.
Yep. He does all kind of stuff like that. Just like,
and I don't know if you remember
all
tonight.
All kind of shit.
Tonight, if you're watching the game before we jumped on here, he fell on the floor, okay?
Yeah, he did the thing.
Trying to, you know, draw a charge or whatever it was on Ananobi. Then Mitchell Robinson ended up with the ball, and he grabbed his legs to you know, prevent him from going up for the
dunk. And knocked him down.
That's some dirty shit, man.
He's been pulling dirty shit for years.
Like, why are you? Yeah, like, why are you
for
doing
years.
That, man?
And like, he has this thing where he'll do some real dirty shit, and then when the player reacts, he'll get all up close to you. But have his hands completely behind his back. Like, he is not about to smoke, but he's a dirty player, which is the worst kind of person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
and then talk shit after.
Marcus Smart might do some dirty shit, but he'll throw hands. Chris Paul might do some dirty shit, but he'll throw hands. This guy will do some dirty shit and then completely look for the referees and the teammates to save him. I hate that shit, bro.
I agree with you, Max. I couldn't have said it better myself, man. It's sad, so too, because he's such a good player. But
He's a great player. Just, super talented.
It's just super unfortunate that, you know, he has to do that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, who raised this dude, man? Goodness gracious.
Who raised him? He said, who raised this dude?
Like, where do they do that at, bro? Where do they do that at?
Where is that from? Yeah. Like, what was your dad telling you that made you think that that's okay?
What kind of environment did you grow up in where you didn't get punched in the face every time you pulled some shit like that off? Like,
come on, man. He must have just been so big his whole life, he just got away with it all the time. It's like, man. Who knows? Speaking of getting away with murder, how about these Lakers, okay? Not to jump back on the Lakers, but they had, what was it that you said? We were talking about it before we started. 200, their free throw.
At least the free throw discrepancy between the second place team. It's insane.
It's pure corruption.
It's pure corruption. It's obvious corruption.
Yeah, it's obvious corruption. I mean, the NBA knows what they want. They're trying to make it just last as long as possible. And it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I don't know what else to say. Like, because, like, if you're getting, you said 200 more? But what is it?
Yeah.
Something wild, like a crazy number like that, right?
It's a crazy, crazy number.
I don't know. We've been saying it all year about the gambling and about all the dirty, corrupt things that are going on in here, and don't think it's even worse right now in the playoffs. That the narrative that needs to be out there. You know what I mean?
Whatever the prop bet for Laker free throws is, somebody was winning on that all year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy out here, man. But hey, on a brighter note, Bucks and Pacers, man, this shit's going to be fun. It's too bad Freak's not in it because I would have loved to watch him play. He probably would have put up 50 every game.
But I was thinking it would be nice to see Dame go back into Portland vibe with just him and some people surrounding him and see what he can do. And he did it in game. He did it in game one. But then the youngin said, no, not today. Not today.
What about this Mavs Clips series that's going on? Which
very unpredictable. I think that's the hardest series to call in the first round. I don't think anybody can claim to know what the hell is going to happen in that.
I don't think we can claim to know, but I feel like Mavs pulled that off.
You think so?
Easily, yeah.
I don't know if they have enough, but the Clippers are ready for the taking. That's for sure. You know,
I don't think Harden's that guy, man.
No, he definitely ain't that guy.
Luka and Kyrie just eat.
Yeah, Luka and Kyrie definitely going to eat, but it's hard for them to win games because there's nobody else that eats. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's very hard for them to win games, but the Clippers are a hot mess with Kawhi and Mr. Disappearing Paul George and Disappearing James Harden, and nobody got emotion except – nobody has any emotion except for your sixth man, and so that's not going to work. You know what I mean? Like, bro.
And their backup center. What's that dude? He used to be in Boston. What's his name?
Is it Plumlee?
White dude. Big dude.
Plumlee?
No, the other one. I can't remember his name. He's got a bunch of tattoos, and he used to play in Boston. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about. He's got the emotion. He's like an undersized big man.
Tice?
Yeah,
Tice.
They're not even playing him right now.
I know, but you're talking about the guys with emotion on there.
Tice got some emotion, but he just sucks, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Their leaders are just like, come on, man. These guys are suspect.
I'm really excited to see Ant-Man do this, though. Like, this Wolves sounds.
It's your Olay.
Oh, man. Yo, man.
Hey, you know what? We got to, when this series is done. Looking like Minnesota is just going to, clean their clock.
Yeah.
When this series is done, we got to start having a serious conversation about whether or not KD's an actual leader.
No, he's not, bro.
Yeah.
He's not. I think I said earlier in the season he's the best role player of all time.
Yeah.
Ever.
Because he never steps up and says, and Devin Booker, you really let me down this year, bro. I had you as my MVP. Look at you.
Look at you.
Oh, man.
Man. You know, it's weird because that team, from a basketball standpoint, no hate on them. It's just straight up, like, just looking at the facts, is that they're having a real rough go on their offense because they don't have a point guard.
Somebody was saying, I think it was Chris Broussard. He was like, this should have never went for Beal. Had Chris Paul with his old self, he would have been way better. Just to have a point guard. You needed a point guard so bad. That even old Chris Paul, you would have went miles further than having Beal, who played, 30 games?
Chris Paul would have set it up. He would have slowed it down. Yep.
He would have put everybody in their place. He would have cussed these guys when they weren't showing enough passion. You know, he would have gotten their face.
Yeah.
Chris Paul has no problem being an asshole,
Speaking of getting in your face, so I was out in Sudbury, right? I forgot to tell you boys this. So I was out in Sudbury last weekend, right, to go see one of my buddies. And I hadn't seen him in a while. So I was out there. He's like, I'm going to take you to a run. So I hadn't actually played in a while, right? But let me tell you, folks, this guy right here, he can play. Anyway, so I have no idea what this run is, right? But I show up. It's a church run. It's a church run. So it's a bunch of church folk, like good folk, right? So good folk here in the gym, right? So I walk in. I'm a little... I'm like, okay, I don't know any of these guys. Very, very tender run, right? It's a very tender run. So I go in very soft.
Please tell me they weren't playing at hard bottoms.
Listen, so the first they started off, and no disrespect, they have a little prayer before the game to make sure nobody gets hurt. That was nice, right? Good vibes.
Yeah.
But as the game progressed, defense is making the calls. So defense makes the call on the foul.
Oh, wow.
I've never played the game that way. I can't remember a time where I played where defense makes the call. They were being so honest, like church folk, good folk. Wow. And I was like, this, I got to stop this. So I started like being the sandpaper in this, started giving little elbows, little shots here, shots there, hitting in guys' faces. Like, come on, wake up, man, wake up. Like, this is not basketball. Like, what you're playing right now is not basketball. Like, trying to get these guys sandpapered up. Man, I called game. I think it was like 9-9 or something like that. I had to win by two. You can win by two. And I called game and whispered it, just like Lance Stevenson to the one guy. Oh, it was beautiful. I'm like, man, oh man. I had my short shorts on and everything. I was balling, man. It was beautiful.
That sounds like that legendary episode of Fresh Prince.
It was like that. It was like that.
Will was just killing it and sabotaged the game, being a hater for a snitch.
I remember Will could play, man. Will could play. I remember that.
Yeah, that was, for sure. Oh,
all right, so the draft is in. I just wanted to mention, or it's a countdown. The draft is in 58 days. So next time we talk, we'll be a little bit closer to that draft. Raptors have the 6th pick. Am I right on
no,
that?
No, they haven't done the lottery yet.
No, I know, but it's anyways.
Oh, projected to have the 6th pick.
Projected to have the 6th pick. That's what I mean.
Okay.
So, so next time we talk, we'll be a little bit closer to that draft because I am quite looking forward to that, and I want to hit that more as we get closer to the draft of who we think they should be going for. And, you know, that's the big news in Raptorland, I believe, as long with the off season. So, boys, once a week, twice a week, we'll run down the playoffs and we'll keep this rolling. And hopefully next time we talk, LeBron will be out of this. And he'll be, he can just go start. Maybe he'll retire. I don't know, but we'll see.
The New York Philly series, I see. I wonder how that's going to play out. Oh, mm-hmm. Philly's up by 10.
Right now. Yeah.
I'm
about to go ahead
to
watch that now.
Yep. All right, boys. Well, enjoy your night, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we will be, like I said, talking playoffs for the rest of the playoffs. So enjoy your night. Everybody be safe, and we'll talk soon. This was another episode of the Sports Ethos Toronto Raptor Podcast, and we are your hosts. I'm Mel Hoopo, that's A-Rod, and that's Max P. You better pay, man. So listen up, everybody. You see that little heart? Hit it. That means you like this. You see that thing that says subscribe? That means you really like it. And if you want to put a video to the face, go to YouTube and watch some of the shorts. You heard, man.